Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you all. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before him. Our Father, we have assembled to meet with you. Meet with us now, we pray. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may be able to worship you in spirit and in truth, that Jesus Christ would be glorified in our lives corporately and individually. Speak to us this day. Let us hear your voice and grant to us hearts that are willing to follow you. We pray these things of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's turn then to Isaiah chapter 53. We'll read the entire chapter. Follow the New King James. I'm using the ESV this morning. There's a reason for it, but anyway, listen to God's inerrant word. Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourself from the dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says Yahweh, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord Yahweh, my people went down at first into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them for nothing. Now therefore, what have I here, declares Yahweh, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing? Their rulers wail, declares Yahweh, and continually all the day my name is despised. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day they shall know that it is I who speak. Here am I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of Yahweh to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For Yahweh has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Yahweh has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of Yahweh. For you shall not go out in haste, and you shall not go in flight. For Yahweh will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see. And that which they have not heard, they understand. May God bless the reading of his holy word. We go from the word to the Nicene Creed on page 846 in the back of your hymnals. In the Confession of Faith of the Council of Nicaea, we'll use to confess the faith that God has revealed to us in His Word. So Christians, what do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, out of God, light of light, Very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and descended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 18. We will read the entire chapter. Revelation 18. Let's hear God's inerrant word. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She's become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. For all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power for her luxurious living." Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back, as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed. As she glorified herself and lived in luxury, so give her a like measure of torment and mourning. Since in her heart she says, 'I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see.' For this reason her plagues will come in a single day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for mighty is the Lord God who has judged her. And the kings of the earth, who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her, will weep and wail over her when they see the smoke of her burning. They will stand far off in fear of her torment and say, 'Alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city, Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment has come.' And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys their cargo anymore. Cargo of silver, of gold, silver, jewels, pearls, fine linen, purple cloth, silk, scarlet cloth, all kinds of scented wood, all kinds of articles of ivory, all kinds of articles of costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and slaves, that is, human souls. The fruit for which your soul longed has gone from you, and all your delicacies and your splendors are lost to you, never to be found again. The merchants of these wares who gained wealth from her will stand far off in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning aloud, 'Alas, alas for the great city that was clothed in fine linen, in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, with jewels, and with pearls. For in a single hour all this wealth has been laid waste.' And all shipmasters and seafaring men, sailors and all whose trade is on the sea, stood far off and cried out as they saw the smoke of her burning, 'What city was like the great city?' And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and mourned, crying out, 'Alas, alas for the great city, where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth, for in a single hour she has been laid waste. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her.' Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. And the sound of harpists and musicians, of flute players and trumpeters, will be heard in you no more. And a craftsman of any craft will be found in you no more. And the sound of the mill will be heard in you no more. And the light of a lamp will shine in you no more. And the voice of bridegroom and bride will be heard in you no more. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all who have been slain on earth. May God bless the reading of His holy word. Let's go together before Him in prayer at this time. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for this Sabbath day. We give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for the Spirit of God who has made His home within us. Our prayer, Father, is that we would hear you speak to us through your Spirit who lives within us. That as we study your word, that we would hear you speak as we have already heard you speak in this service, that we would continue to hear you speak. That we would tune our eyes and our ears and our minds upon you, Father, that all the good things and evil things and pressing things of our everyday life would be put aside for this day of rest, this taste of our eternal Sabbath rest. That Christ, who is our Sabbath, would be glorified here in our midst. Not just today, not just at this hour, but in our lives individually as well as corporately in the week to come. Be with those who rule over us in church as well as state. Give us good rulers, restrain evil in their hearts and minds, we pray. Grant to us eyes that see and ears that hear, minds that can understand, and hearts that are willing to obey. In Christ's name, amen. Now in chapter 17, we've spent, 2 weeks widely divided over that section? In chapter 17 of Revelation, we have the image of Babylon as a whore, as a prostitute, as a harlot, depending on your English translation. That image does not disappear in chapter 18, but another image or metaphor comes on top of it. In fact, what's kind of interesting is the imagery in the Old Testament of cities or nations being portrayed as whores is quite common. And so we have now the description of Babylon as a city. But again, the imagery of immorality is, we'll look at verse 3 for example, all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality. The kings of the earth have committed immorality with her. The imagery still continues of that kind of behavior, but now, again, not so much as a woman as a city. And the description that we have is one that draws from extensively in the Old Testament. I have found many references from Jeremiah and Isaiah, a few drawing from, for example, Zephaniah, some perhaps from Habakkuk, and maybe even from Haggai, but mostly from Jeremiah and Isaiah these images are drawn. This language is accessed by John, whether he had Bibles in front of him or his memory or the Holy Spirit brought it to mind, we don't know. You can't say for sure. We don't know exactly how this works. But we do know this, that the messages that are proclaimed and the images that are described are multi-layered images. We have passages that refer to Babylon in both Isaiah and Jeremiah. In fact, there are numerous chapters. I'm going to give you a few if you want to write them down. Prophecies against Babylon are found in Isaiah. What's interesting about that is this is a century before Babylon becomes a problem. Isaiah 13 and 14, Isaiah 21, Also Isaiah 46, verses 1 and 2, Isaiah 47. All of those heavily concern themselves with Babylon at a time when Assyria is the problem. Jeremiah dedicates chapters 50 and 51 to Babylon. Also chapter 25, verses 12 through 14. Are primarily focused upon Babylon. In fact, the imagery, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, is picked right out of Isaiah 21:9. So we have a lot of Old Testament language being used here that does directly refer to Babylon. And so we can say that this city is Babylon. But we can also say that it's other cities. Because, see, much of the image applies also to others. In fact, the imagery we have in the second part of verse 2, a haunt for every unclean, a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. Well, that is drawn from prophecies that refer to Babylon. The same language, however, is also used to refer to Edom and Nineveh. And in Jeremiah 6:8 and other passages in Jeremiah, to Jerusalem. We have multiple cities being referred to. In verse seven, for example, she glorified herself and lived in luxury. Give her a like measure of torment and mourning. That's drawn from Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 2-8, where it refers to the city of Tyre. In fact, Babylon, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. All nations have drunk the wine of the passion for sexual immorality. This was already given to us in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 8. This is an expanded version. If you have the two pages open and you flip back and forth, you can see that it's almost identical, but other stuff has been added in. So it's an expanded declaration. And an expanded declaration by an interesting character. He's another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. Everything about that suggests that this personage is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can't prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt, but it fits. And I think it also fits when we look at the introduction in verse 4 to some of the rest of the chapter. Then I heard another voice from heaven. What other voice do we hear coming out of heaven? God the Father. So I would suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that we have a declaration here from God Himself, from two persons of the Trinity, announcing to us great judgment. A great judgment that falls now not just upon the imagery of an immoral woman, but an imagery upon a city. And again, a city that stacks up imagery. In Sunday school, we spent a little time. The first city, the first city arrayed against God, at least, and a city that has a connection with Babel, is found in Genesis chapter 11, the city of Babel and its tower, where the whole human race arrayed itself together. In rebellion against God's command to fill the earth, they assembled themselves together, lest they be scattered, and built a city and a tower in rebellion against God. We have imagery here that's used in reference to the city of Sodom, for example. If you look in verse 9, the kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her will weep and wail over her. Notice this, when they see the smoke of her burning. They stand afar off. That imagery, of course, is language that immediately takes us back to Abraham coming out of his tent and looking far off to the valley of Jordan and seeing the smoke of the cities of the plain rising. Not just Babel, it's Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, Jeremiah, I don't remember the reference now. No, it's Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 16. And also Ezekiel chapter 23. Jerusalem is described as a whore, but interestingly enough, in Ezekiel 16, she's talked of with her sister Sodom. So we have this evil city arrayed against God, in rebellion against God, and we have that motif, that image, used again and again, Babel, Sodom, Jerusalem, Tyre and Sidon, Nineveh, Babylon, Jerusalem again. It's all piled up together. So that John uses this language from Old Testament prophecies referring to various cities. And he pulls them all together. And he says it all applies to this city. This city, which was previously described as an immoral woman, and now a city that is about to receive the full wrath and curse of God. And because of her immorality, because of her wickedness, because of her wealth. In fact, if you'll notice in verse 21, John draws, I'm convinced, not merely from language in Jeremiah 51, where there's a prophecy about Babylon, where he drops a rock in the city, in the river Euphrates, and it sinks, and thus so shall Babylon sink. But he's also drawing language from the Lord Jesus Christ. In some ways, it's closest to the reference found in Mark 9:42, whoever offends these little ones. It's also found in Matthew and in Luke. John is using the same language here. You can't read this and not hear what Jesus said. Took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea. See, there's the difference. In Jeremiah, it's a rock thrown in a river. And here it's a millstone thrown in a sea, which is Jesus' language. He's drawing languages of judgment from both Testaments. And he wants us, I'm sure, to hear Jesus' condemnation upon this city. Because this is a city that Jesus attempted to cleanse. We look at all the description of the great wealth that's involved that was carted to this city. Notice in verse 13, use your New King James or an NIV, because in this case, those two beat the New American Standard hollow. Because it says literally at the end, and bodies and souls of men. Now, I know the word soul can be translated life sometimes. And I understand if you're talking about bodies that you could be referring to people who are just being used and therefore as slaves. But I think should be taken very literally, as the New American, the New King James, and the NIV do. Kind of shocked me, the NIV was literal in this particular case. Of the bodies and souls of men. This city trades in the souls of men. This city has tremendous wealth. You see, it's a reference to the practices of the temple, which Jesus cleansed. Because what? You had to buy your sacrifices. They wouldn't take any sacrifice. It had to be one they approved of. And you couldn't buy that animal with any old money. You had to have temple money. So first you had to walk to the money changer and exchange your normal money for temple money, and you lost. Not just the normal money changer profit, but also a profit for their bosses, who were the priests. And Ananias was known to have a big cut of that. And then you bought the animals at an inflated price with a deflated coin. It was a way of fleecing the sheep, and hence trading in the souls of men. God's judgment falls upon it. We find twice in verse 20 and 24, as we've seen elsewhere in Revelation, the clear indication that this is Jerusalem below because of the judgment upon the city because of their killing the prophets and the saints. But brothers and sisters, there's something else I want us to see. Not so much from Revelation 18 as from one of the passages of Scripture that Revelation draws from. You see, we're told to come out of her. To come out of her and be separate. Paul uses that language in 2 Corinthians 6. It's used here. In the Old Testament, it's used predominantly for coming out of Babylon. To come back to Jerusalem, you see. And we find that found in, among other places, in Isaiah 52. By the way, also in Jeremiah, was it 6:1? It's used in reference to coming out of Jerusalem. The same kind of language. But in Isaiah 52:11, we read, "Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing." And while checking out the cross-reference, I happened to read the whole chapter. I don't always do that. Usually I read a few verses before and a couple verses after. And maybe that's what happened as I read that. I've got to look at the rest of this. Because do you see what we read earlier? We start off with Jerusalem being enslaved. And a description here, not of the great city, but Jerusalem, the holy city. In fact, you notice that when Jerusalem's described in Revelation in terms of judgment, the word Jerusalem is not used. The word Jerusalem's used only with the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Because there are two Jerusalems. There are two women, the wicked woman and the pure woman. So there are two cities. The city which is here and now, which is in rebellion against God, and the city which comes from above, the city that Abraham looked for, the city that we look for, the city that we find coming out of Jerusalem. In fact, look at this language here in this last part of verse 1 of chapter 52 of Isaiah. "There shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean." That is echoed in Revelation, where we have the description of the new Jerusalem. Liars, sinners, murderers will not be found in her. She is clean. The unclean will not be there. "Shake yourself from the dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem. Loose the bonds of your neck." And then the description in verses 3 and following down through 6 of God redeeming His people without money. They were captured for nothing. They're released for nothing. At least no money is paid. But yet we know the price is far more precious than money. We'll get to that in a few moments. And then the words that Paul uses in Romans chapter 10. You know, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And he uses these words. Hear them. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news," the gospel, "who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Break forth," verse 9, "into singing. God has comforted his people." Hear the words of salvation and joy. You see, in Revelation 17 and 18, we have the judgment of God. But when we point it out with the winepress of the wrath of God, this judgment falls upon those who will not accept that earlier falling of the wrath of God outside the city upon Jesus. But instead, they will reserve it for themselves. That's the good news, bad news of the good news. If Christ has not died for us, then we die for our own sins. That's the judgment in 17 and 18. Because Jerusalem rejected their king. Remember, 11:8. The city outside of whose walls our Lord was crucified. So we depart. Depart, verse 11, from there. Depart, not in haste, but go. And of course we point out Jesus gave the same command. But finally, what's so precious about turning to this chapter is to see the judgment of God and the provision of God. "Behold, my servant," verse 13, "shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted." How is he lifted up? The Son of Man must be lifted up that he would draw all men to himself. How is he lifted up? His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance. His form beyond that of the children of mankind. Language that calls to mind Psalm 22 and the crucifixion of Christ. And how interesting this verb in the very next line. "So shall he sprinkle many nations." The mercy seat of the holiest of holies is sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb. And Christ, who is lifted up and is marred for us, sprinkles many nations. And kings who are loud and proud and boastful hush their mouths. I love when Job talks about, I put my heart on the wall. So because God has told him what a fool he is, and he says, I'm not going to talk anymore. I put my hands over my mouth. Kings hush their mouths before him. That which has not been told them, they see. That which they have not heard, they understand. Because you see, revelation is not just about the judgment of God upon apostate Judaism. Revelation is above and beyond everything else about the good news of Jesus Christ and how it conquers because our Christ conquers. The whole book is about his victory. And how does he have victory? He shall be lifted up. He shall be lifted up with his appearance marred beyond human semblance. It's enough to make you think of the images of the Passion of the Christ if you saw the film, which doesn't do justice to what was done to our Christ. He suffered immensely for us, that we need not suffer the wrath of God. And his blood makes us clean. So that we can again back up a few verses and say, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. That's why Paul chose those words, I think, not just because of what they say, but also because of the context of this Christ who has done so much for us. The whore is judged. The evil city made with man's hands in rebellion against God is judged. But there is another woman who is a whore who's made a virgin. And another city made not with man's hands, but with God's, built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And the nations that are drawn in are drawn in. The kings shall shut their mouths, because his blood is sprinkled on many nations. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before him. Our Father and our God, I thank you for this gospel in Isaiah, as Dr. McRae once put it. I thank you that as we see the images of evil piled up in Revelation 18, we also are drawn in the context of many of those judgments from the Old Testament scriptures, we are drawn to King Jesus himself. Even with the image of the millstone being thrown into the sea, we hear those words from our Lord's mouth as he, King, protects his little ones. His little ones bought with his blood. Father, never let us forget what our Savior went through for us. Not merely the physical torture, as gross and extended as it was, but that the wrath of God fell on him. That he was the one who was pressed in your wine press of wrath. And it was his blood that poured forth, that we might be cleansed. Let us hear the gospel in Revelation, and let us trust in our Savior, who is the victor and gives us the victory. We pray these things of you in his precious name. Amen.